Good morning and welcome. Let's begin our worship by rising and making confession before our God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord, pour out upon us the Spirit to think and to do what is right, that we who cannot even exist without you may have the strength to live according to your will. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
First lesson is from Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. The word of the Lord. Second lesson is from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to flesh, but to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes to us from the 13th chapter of Matthew. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. And the slaves said to him, Do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will send the reapers to collect the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds and of the field. And he answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone who has ears listen. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus the Christ. Another description of a weed, besides being a plant where you don't want it, is that a weed is a plant whose virtues have not been yet discovered. In our gospel lesson today, a weed was intentionally sown in a landowner's wheat field. Now, over time, it's believed that that was a weed called bearded darnel, a particularly aggressive weed. In biblical times, it was known as tares, and you'll find that in the Bible. We've yet to discover a virtue for bearded darnel. One of the problems is, and the reason Jesus told people to leave it, or the landowner told people to leave it alone, is that it has roots that surround the roots of the wheat. And so when you go and try and pick out the darnel, you pull out some of the wheat. So it's almost impossible to pull it out without damaging the good crop. Now, above the ground, darnel looks identical to wheat when it first comes up. And it looks that way until it's ready to bear seed, until the grain heads form. Then you can tell the difference, because they're kind of purple, unlike the wheat. Now, the seeds, if there's too much of it in the wheat field, can actually cause hallucinations and death if it's mixed into your wheat. So, it's no wonder that Jesus uses this noxious weed to illustrate evil, evil incarnate. Bearded darnel, also known as false wheat, is the botanical equivalent of ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing, in which Jesus has already warned us. Jesus says this evil sowing was intentional. Unlike last week's story about the sower, this is not a story about happen chance. Good seed falling into infertile soil. This is a parable about the enemy deliberately sowing darnel in the field of good wheat. Jesus clearly acknowledges the reality of evil in our world and illustrates evil's destructive nature, underscoring both the necessity of somehow eradicating it, but also telling us how difficult it is to do so. In our lives today, we know what Jesus is talking about. Sometimes our lives resemble the farmer's infested field, with weeds and wheat intertwined in our souls and our hearts. Our second lesson 2 weeks ago, Paul wrote, "I do not do what I want, but the very thing that I do is what I hate." Members of the AA and NA groups that meet here at St. John's feel the same way with their life predicament. And the first step in their recovery confesses, "We are powerless over alcohol and our lives have become unmanageable." The fourth step is to do a fearless moral inventory, sorting out the weeds from within, sorting out the weeds. Our personal experiences of the enemy sowing may be more subtle, as the countless distractions that derail us each day, hundreds of emails, unwanted phone calls, and endless meetings that make it look like we're working on the realm of God, but they're simply just weeds that's dividing our attention away from thinking about God. Sometimes our jobs, we can feel weed infested and under assault by the evil one. And like the servants of the parable, many of you are facing the challenge of separating the weeds from the wheat each day in your workplace. Maybe you're a middle manager who is glad your company's big profits, but you're not so much liking the bookkeeping that's making this possible. Maybe you're a teacher facing a clique of parents whose well-meaning criticism chokes out your creativity and the care of their children. Maybe it's some rules of the school that makes it harder and harder for you to teach. Perhaps you're a lawyer who is asked to look the other way for the good of the firm. The weeds are in our fields too. I mean, none of us are first century Galilean farmers, but you confront evil every day in your life, and Jesus does too. Just before he tells us this parable, the Pharisees, who are the leaders of his own faith, try to trick him and begin their plot to destroy him. They look like true leaders, but they're as false and as deadly as any bearded darnel. Jesus and the author of Matthew also know that evil can infest the whole community. Elsewhere in this gospel, Jesus warns against false messiahs and false prophets, those who cry out, "Lord, Lord," they seem faithful and caring, but they lead people astray and harm the whole community. In contemporary terms, Kenneth Haucht, who's the founder of the Stephen Ministry, describes these people as antagonists in the church. By any name, antagonists, weeds, wolves, false prophets, false wheat, they are a reality and communities of faith. Jesus' parable acknowledges that hard truth for us. At the same time, this parable clearly cautions against our rush to judgment. We cannot always tell initially what is a good plant and what is not. I think about my neighbor, a master gardener, who once transplanted some of the flowers from her garden into our garden, our front yard. 2 days later, she was back, frantically digging up these plants. I made a mistake, she said, sweat dripping from her 80-year-old face. "These are weeds. They're not flowers. Quick, give me a hand. Let's get them out of here." Now, although Esther, was scarcely the evil one of Jesus' parable. Her story underscores the challenge of distinguishing good from bad, wheat from weeds, loyal opposition from heresy, healthy conflict from destructive antagonism. Because of the traits of the darnel, the landowner tells his servant to be patient and wait till the harvest, when they can see the difference by the fruit that is born. Such patience is not an excuse for inaction or conflict avoidance. It's a necessary way to deal with the weeds. Jesus outlines later in Matthew how to deal with poisonous behavior within our community. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault. And when the two of you are alone, if the member listens to you, you've regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the whole church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such be a one to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The separation that Jesus commands may seem harsh and unchristian, but Jesus knows only too well the wiles of the evil one. He knows that failure to deal with evil allows it to spread, just as the seeds of noxious darnel multiply and infest other fields. In his interpretation of the parable, Jesus identifies the reapers as angels who come at the end of the age. And this delay to the end of the age points out that what may seem to us like the weeds will often win out. Jesus knows that. But the parable's ending affirms that there is one who is stronger and smarter than the weed-sowing enemy. God will sort out the good from the bad. And again, that may sound harsh to our tolerant, enlightened ears, but this harvest time judgment is the ultimate good news, be it for the person facing corruption in their workplace or those living in times and places of oppression. In a world where seeds of hatred and injustice are sown every day, this parable affirms unequivocally that God is still in charge. We hear the words of "This is my Father's world." Though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we now pray for all who are in need. God of the harvest, you sow the good seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ into your field. Help St. John's to be both diligent and patient, full of resolve and gentleness, that our witnesses to the world may be faithful to your intentions. Lord, in your mercy, God of the nations, teach us your ways, that we may walk in your truth. Mend the fabric of the human family, now torn apart by our fearful and warring ways. Guide us to mend relationships that are tearing our country apart. We give thanks for your mercy, your grace, and steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy, God of hope, you accompany those who suffer because of the policies of our government. Guide representatives to change laws for the benefit of all. Open our hearts to your children who are lonely and abandoned, who feel trapped by despair. Help us to help them understand what is going on in their world. Lord, in your mercy, God of the seasons, protect workers who must toil in the heat of the day. We pray for the safety of those who travel. We pray for those who cannot take rest as they need it. Lord, in your mercy, God of life, we live in the promise of our resurrection. Help us to give those around us this same hope. Gather us with all your saints as we live out eternity with you. Lord, in your mercy, in the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers aloud and those that we have no words for you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In him you have received us as your children, made us citizens of your kingdom, and given us your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Through Abraham, you promised to bless all nations. You rescued Israel, your chosen people. Through the prophets, you renewed your promise. And at this end of all the ages, you sent your Son, who in words and deeds proclaimed your kingdom and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Therefore, gracious Father, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us, and believing the witnesses of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast. Amen. Come, Lord. As we've been gathered together by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For all those who believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he gives us this meal. Come. The banquet is ready.
I dare not trust this needless frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I claim, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, we've made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord. His face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, redeemed to stand before the throne.
Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord forevermore. Amen. And now may God, whose love for all is forever, be with you during these times of trial. Receive the grace of Jesus for your lives, and now live in hope. Amen. Now go in peace, grow in faith, and spread the gospel. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Rose and